Hello, and thank you so much for listening today to the show. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and my name is Peter Alton, your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello, and welcome back again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And this is the 180th show that I've put together. Bearing in mind that each show takes several hours to research and put together, that's quite a bit of my life that I've dedicated to you guys. And I hope that it is useful in your walk with diabetes, in your journey through life to be able to take control of your diabetes, whether you have type 1 or type 2, whatever type you may have, but you're learning nuggets of information about how to control it better, that you're finding inspiration to be able to make changes in your lifestyle. Because largely, that is what controlling diabetes is all about, making changes in your lifestyle. And last week, we heard from an incredible couple, from Dr. Andrew Crilly and Jane Johnson, in the first part of an interview that I did with them. Thanks to the amazing technology we have these days, I was able to sit in my home and talk to them whilst they were in their home over in Hawaii. I'm obviously based in England. So we had a great discussion about things, and the second part of that interview is what I will be sharing with you today. And the exciting thing is about Andrew and Jane's story is that they have truly changed the course of Andrew's life. Andrew, I'm not going to go into too many details, but was on a concoction of different tablets and drugs for various things. Now, some of those are still necessary, but some he has been able to reduce and come off. And it really does give that feeling of hope for many of my listeners here, that actually it's never too late to improve your lifestyle and make some dramatic changes to your health, to your longevity, to your whole course of your future. And we've talked in the past about things to motivate us to make changes, talked about, you know, wanting to be able to play with the grandchildren, wanting to be able to walk the daughter down the aisle,
being able to achieve that special walking holiday, or maybe a couch to 5K, maybe even doing a marathon, or maybe it's just something as simple as walking around to the corner shop.
One of the things that Andrew says in the interview, actually I think it was Jane that said it in the interview, is that Andrew was actually approached by someone and asked if he was Andrew's brother, because he looked so different from the interventions he's put in to change his lifestyle, reducing his weight. Somebody actually said, are you Andrew's brother? And we're going to play a song in a minute, which is has some words in it. It's always a dilemma on the radio show like this, where you get to play a couple of songs without any requests or anything, because none of you are requesting. If any of you would like to, then please do. Just email in on thediabetesshow@ukhealthradio.com. Okay, any questions? It doesn't have to be about music or anything, but if you want a particular song played, then please let me know. Otherwise, you have to put up with my choices. So anyway, the song that I've chosen for today, for this week, is a song by an artist called John Denver. Again, you either love him or hate him. And I grew up, I guess, with listening to a bit of John Denver because my parents both really liked him. And although I like a lot of heavy rock, punk music and all sorts, I still have a soft touch for some of John Denver's songs. And one of them, which my parents used to play a lot, is called Some Days Are Diamonds. And I guess that is true for us all. Some days are diamonds, and the next bit of a song says some days are stones. Some are really special, some are really not so special. But there's some lyrics in one of the verses I just want to share with you, because I think it's something which a lot of us people who develop diabetes can relate to. And what it says is, it says this, it says, "Now the face that I see in my mirror more and more is a stranger to me. More and more I can see there's a danger in becoming what I never thought I'd be." Now, for all of us, if we rewind the clock back to when we were younger. And maybe you've got a photograph handy in your house. Maybe you've got a photo you can access somewhere of you when you were younger. And I'm not talking necessarily about the lines on your face or the hair going grey or whatever, but I'm thinking more along the lines of how we change with the weight that we carry around particularly. And if you just have a look at that photo, you may actually look at that photo and see it as being you, but you don't compare it necessarily to what you're looking like today. Look in the mirror and you're used to seeing yourself like that. But actually, if you compare that photo from 10 years, 15 years ago, and compare it to a photograph of today or hold it up next to you as you look in the mirror, the chances are that actually you will be a bit of a stranger compared to what you used to be. And more you can see, quite likely, that there is a danger in becoming what you never thought you'd be. You never thought you would have a double chin. You never thought you would have, you know, a bloated face. You never thought that you would look the way that you look because perhaps you're carrying a few extra pounds. Well, Andrew took this on board, decided he was going to do the diet, the ideal diabetic lifestyle diet, which we've developed here at Undefeated. And in doing so, he has since made a huge difference to his life, and I'll let him talk about that. And he has been able to have people actually saying to him this thing about, hey, are you Andrew's brother? How good is that? So I hope that as you listen to this song, it will fill you with the hope that actually you can turn back the hands of time, that actually you can make yourself look that much younger just by managing your lifestyle better, getting fitter, exercising, and eating better. So please enjoy John Denver singing Some Days Are Diamonds.
When you asked how I've been here without you, I like to say I've been fine, and I do. But we both know the truth is hard to come by. And if I told the truth, that's not quite true. Some days a diamond, some days a stone, sometimes a hard time. Sometimes a cold wind blows a chill in my bones. Some days a diamond, some days a stone. Now the face that I see in my mirror more and more is a stranger to me. More and more I can see there's a danger in becoming what I never thought I'd be. Some days a diamond, some days a stone, sometimes a hard time won't leave me alone. Sometimes a cold wind blows a chill in my bones. Some days a diamond, some days a stone. days are diamonds, some days are stone. Sometimes the hard times won't leave me alone. Sometimes the cold wind blows a chill in my bones. Some days.
Hello and welcome back to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. This is Peter Alton, and today I'm about to be interviewing the second half of the interview, actually, with Dr. Andrew Killey and Jane Johnson. You've just been listening to John Denver and Some Days Are Diamonds, and one of the verses in there I shared beforehand, it says that now the face that I see in my mirror more and more is a stranger to me. More and more, I can see there's a danger in becoming what I never thought I'd be. And that, I think, really does sum up what a lot of us go through in life. And it doesn't have to be. Actually, we can look in the mirror and we can see ourselves as we were 10 or 15 years ago by intervening in our lifestyles now. But that danger of becoming what you never thought you'd be. You never thought that you would have that double chin. You never thought you'd have those sagging cheeks. You never thought that you would have that thick neck, when actually you have developed it over time. But hey, the good news is that by changing your lifestyle, you can get back to looking like you did some years ago. And Andrew and Jane together have worked on Andrew's life with his diabetes to make that a reality. And hopefully, as we speak to them now, you'll get some inspiration and you'll learn from them some of the tips on actually how to achieve that. So let me welcome again to the show Dr. Andrew Killey and Jane Johnson, my good friends.
When you actually decided to get into this diabetic sweet spot, can you just briefly just tell the listeners what that really entailed from the point of view of what we set up you doing in those early days, what you were not supposed to do, what you were supposed to do, etc., without scaring them off?
Oh, no. I mean, I think there are two or three foundations. One foundation, of course, is to set up a regular exercise regime.
Yeah.
You know, something that you like doing. Now, at the time, we were managing a very large estate in France. So exercise came naturally. I mean, you just had to get out and cut the grass. You had to sort of,
yeah, you know, it was 50 acres, so just kind of walking around that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had to, the mower, of course, was mechanized, but you know, you had to get off it and empty it.
Heave all the stuff with a fork.
Yeah, so it was really good all-round exercise. And so I was lucky to have that right on my doorstep, and it made it easy. But you know, even if you're in a city or a town, you have to kind of work out some exercise regime that you really like. That's really important, you know. So there was no problem with the exercise. Then, next foundation, drop all carbs from eating and drinking every day. Just cut them immediately. You know, don't have the bread. Don't have the spaghetti. Don't have anything that's got carbohydrates.
Pasta.
And I managed to do that. Of course, that takes, you know, a bit of change in your eating habits. But if you can do that, that's definitely one of the foundations. And you get a result more or less straight away.
Yeah, I mean,
2 or 3 days later, you're seeing the sugars drop and, you know, you're feeling better. Weight's disappearing. You know, that's another foundation.
Yeah, because every day for us used to start with 2 croissants, lashings of jam, butter, and that had to go, you know.
Yeah. Okay, and the third foundation is rather obvious, but you should eat less.
The amount.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that most, there are so many obese-style people that we should, you know, you look around and you can say, well, everybody that I can see really should be eating less. It's that bad, you know. I mean, people have just got fat. And you know, that won't go. It's not going to work unless you provide that foundation for your trip to the sweet spot.
Yeah.
So those are the three things, really. you know, it's a commitment to exercise, it's a commitment to dropping carbs, and it's a commitment to eating less.
Yeah. And how were you able to, apart from your trousers falling down, how were you able to tell that you were making some sort of progress? What sort of things did you put in place for that? Can you remember?
That's easy. I with your help, actually, and Tina's, with the Excel spreadsheets, we managed to monitor every day. Three times a day, it was a case of measuring the blood sugars. And so they were dropping, and they were behaving with the two-hour extension to meals. You know, you can test just before and then 2 hours later, and they were making the right kind of moves. Blood pressure, I mean, that was checked, but that actually continued to misbehave, even though we changed the meter and we went round to the local doctor and got a good reading. That still didn't convince us that we'd done much on the blood pressure thing. So the sort of measured moves. And then the big one, of course, is HbA1c. And after 3 months, that had dropped into the range between 4 and 7. It was something like 5.6, you know. Yeah. So that was the strongest indicator that we were getting somewhere with this.
Yeah.
And also I think you have to say that, you know, you're feeling better. Yeah. Somehow, you know, it's not the same as it was. So that kind of almost intuitive measurement was something that gave us great confidence as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, those were the three tangible measurements. The blood glucose with just a prick and a normal meter every day, several times a day if necessary. Blood pressure measurements, that's very important. And the third foundation is, you know, sort of related to those two, that you're eating less. And the really important measurement that everybody would recognize as a result is the HbA1c, here, just A1c, being in the range 5 to 7. And I haven't stepped out of that in all the time that I've been in the sweet spot. So there we are.
Brilliant. Well done. I think it's really important that people do test and measure. And I don't want to scare everybody off thinking, well, he just said he tests them several times a day before meals, after meals. That's not necessarily necessary for everyone to do, so don't get too scared, listeners. But certainly I think everyone should have, in an ideal world, access to a blood sugar meter, where they can do a simple pinprick and test regularly. And in an ideal world, that would be daily. In your case, we're going to get you really, really seeing what's going on. And it was interesting to see, because you could actually tell what your blood sugars were going to do the following morning if you ate the previous night.
That's right. No, it's a very sensitive test, actually, if you can interpret it.
Yeah.
And Peter, another measurement which we should mention, of course, consistent with eating less, is that you begin to lose weight.
Yeah.
So you're eating less, no carbohydrates, down comes the weight. And if that's happening, then you're onto something, aren't you?
And, of course, the waistline.
Yes.
And if you're eating less, down come the trousers.
Yeah, right. We always just use the weight more than the...
Yeah.
We should have used the waistline more, shouldn't we? Then we wouldn't have been in this terribly embarrassing situation. But it's really quite amazing. It's like... And people would say, hey, you look pretty good. What's happening? You know, and of course that boosts as well.
Someone asked if he was Andrew's brother.
Yeah.
Wow, that is phenomenal, isn't it? Well, I hope that's phenomenal. What does Andrew's brother look like?
Yeah, he looked like a pre-diabetic version of me.
that's brilliant.
No, it's good. And just to boast a little, I asked someone... Last night, actually, we were at the jazz club here in Honolulu, and the doorman asked, you know, I said to him, because they ask you, you know, are you qualifying as a senior and so on?
Yeah.
So I said, well, what do you think? He said, oh, you're 55. Well, I said, wrong, because I need to get in as a senior. He said, okay.
Well, that's good. That's brilliant.
So you look better is another consolation in all this getting into the sweet spot, is you actually do appear better and to your better half and everybody else. So yeah. Go for it.
And you have more energy and you look like you've got more energy. So, Okay, so obviously this was it's largely down to you, Andrew. You need to pat yourself on the back for what you've done here. This is fantastic. I just want to get your input a little bit on support, because I know Jane is sitting there with you, and what level of support do you advise that people should get, and what have you had from Jane, and maybe Jane can chip in as well with what it's been like supporting you.
Yeah, I think your family is the answer to that one.
And, if it's going to be like a buddy who's a friend, as it were, you almost needs to be someone who's around you a lot, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty important, as you know. And the buddy help I had in particular was achieving the kind of right food on the plate. So Jane would know what to cook and when to cook, that type of thing. That's critical, because often the patient is responding to the family needs for food and therefore gets landed with what are considered to be normal, you know, plates and no accommodation to the type of food that's required. So, you know, that I think is, I've been very fortunate in being able to say, well, what I have in front of me is suitable, you know. That's another level of support. And then always off to the doctor together. That's a good one. We tell the stories, they listen, and it's more interesting all round. You know?
It's a shared journey, really.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell when he's going off the rails a little bit. Not that he ever does, of course.
And the plate's full of a gravy load of ice cream and chocolate.
Tina just gives me this look when I sort of put my plate out for a second helping of something. I get the look. But at the same time, she isn't. She's not militant about it. She does give me leeway, but helps me keep on the straight and narrow.
And then the exercise. If you can both exercise, that's more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's buddy help has all of, in our case, has all of those ingredients. Oh, and more. I mean, you know, just asking what is the blood sugar level today, you know.
Have you tested it? Yeah.
tipping the scales at, you know, that kind of thing.
So you're in a really lucky position of having each other and of Jane being on board with it, and but I'm sure there's many listeners who have got multiple people in their household all on the same bad lifestyle and diet, and
some aren't
motivated, yet maybe there's one that is. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking of choosing a buddy that maybe needs to be outside their family because there isn't anyone in their family who will help them? What would you say maybe people should look for in someone?
Well, I would say the most important thing is that they most naturally meet regularly, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. So that it's not like, oh, I'll see you in 2 weeks. It's like, oh, I'll see you for coffee tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might imply living locally, living nearby. I don't know. I mean, it has to be regular, and it has to be quite directed and communication good, views exchanged, you know, and sort of, you know, getting quite deep into what is going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest factor. I don't know whether you agree, Jane, that you actually have to meet with your mentor pretty regularly, face to face, you know.
Yeah, because it can be undone in just a few, you know, bad meals.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then you think, oh, I'm just going to have half of that muffin.
Yeah.
And so on that day, it's half the muffin. 2 days later, it's three quarters. And if there's not someone around who's saying, no, it's no good, you just go on down that road and you're back again with lots of, you know, very high blood sugars. And, yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's, I think, yeah, for example, let's think about Christmas. Somebody might be going along really well with their diet, really got their blood sugars under control, and then Christmas comes along. You know, everyone is likely to overindulge a little bit at Christmas, even if it's not massively. And it can be so easy for someone just to slip and then feel bad about it and then not get motivated to get back into it again. And it's that slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's lots of misinformation about things, like, you know, they're saying, okay, it's good for you to have chocolate. Well, you listen to that and think, oh, great, you know. And so then the chocolate bar goes into the fridge. The ones that are like 90% of the right type of cocoa. But they don't mean that you can just go there eating chocolate.
Binge.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's like one small square every 2 days or something.
Yeah.
But you can easily get misdirected on things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's still controversial about the carbohydrate diet, isn't it? Mm. I mean, you know, it's not...
It is.
And there's one thing, though, about if people are worried about having to prick themselves all so much, I think they're beginning to develop a way of doing that without having to actually take the blood. Am I right? There are meters that are able to check the blood.
You have to have a sample.
We're getting there. I mean, there are ones that you can have. My daughter's had at one point where you have a constant... Well, it's not constant, you put it in every few days, but a constant line into your body, which basically continuously sampling the sugar in the tissue fluid, I believe. That's what it's doing.
Right.
And they're starting to get other ones as well, which are, before long we'll have.
As time goes on,
it'll
become an easier thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's ones that you can, again, you've got it attached to you, but you can then swipe it and it without doing a blood prick test.
Yeah.
Overall, what benefits would you say you've experienced from getting into the diabetic sweet spot?
Let's see. I think it's a lot of satisfaction in reaching the goals. That's been very important. So that is a benefit. The loss of weight, which has been a result of aiming for the sweet spot and getting there, has also been a real benefit in many more ways than one. Because, you know, Peter, you're less stressed on your heart, less to carry around. I mean, you know, just feeling better, all of that.
Look better, feel better.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, another benefit has been the feet improvement. You know, something right in your line that you know, it seems that the feet can be helped enormously by a drug regime, and that benefit is allowing you to continue the exercise. That's critical. I mean, if you can't exercise, then you can't lose weight, and then you can't get the body properly working. So that improvement in the feet has been a benefit of being in the sweet spot. And, you know, the hope that we'll get further into the sweet spot, that we would actually, with our regimes, get to the stage where we could say we're free of it. You know, actually, we've reversed it. And no pills, no nothing, you know. And that would be the ultimate goal. Also, you know, one thing that we haven't... said and mention it very, very briefly, is that although there's a fair, you know, cocktail of drugs to take every day, I haven't, thank goodness, had side effects. You know,
I
managed to manage to get through without feeling anything but normal. And you know, that is also an amazing benefit, if you like, of taking advantage of drugs without side effects, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier on about you set goals, and that's something I just want to pick up on, because it's great to have goals, great to have dreams. And I know one thing that we did very early on with you was there were, it wasn't, the overall goal was, hey, let's see if we can reverse the diabetes. And it was quite a long shot with all the medication you were on, etc. But having small goals set in between, I think really helped you. Because I remember you saying that, you know, by the end of this month, I want to get my weight down to this weight and I want to get my HbA1c to this. And having those small goals, I think it can be helpful for people rather than the overall daunting goal of, you start off, I'm going to lose 15 kilos. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Because you let things slip. If the goal's so impossible, you just it's very hard to maintain the route towards it.
Yeah. The other thing you said that I wanted to mention was you mentioned about, one of the pluses, the experience of the sensation coming back in your feet. The other exciting thing really that we mustn't forget is that for the nerves in the feet to have been damaged by the diabetes over the time, other parts of the body would have been damaged as well without you being aware of it. So, you know, we know people can have diabetes for many years without having any symptoms whatsoever, and then suddenly they get a problem that leads to an ulcer or an amputation, or they get a problem with their eyesight all of a sudden and they have retinopathy, or they get kidney issues or cardiovascular issues for that matter. And those deteriorations are gradual, but likewise, all the time you're getting into that diabetic sweet spot, the improvements to those things are happening behind the scenes as well, but you're not actually feeling. There's no way of really knowing whether they're getting better. But we have to assume that if the blood sugars are getting better, then hey, we're improving all of those things as well.
Right.
Yeah, because we check them regularly. That's something that you have to do, the eyes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, actually, Peter, the blood tests over here in the USA are amazingly comprehensive. I mean, they're pages. And, right. And the checks on those organs that are affected by diabetes are measured and the response shown very clearly. And that's one of the reasons that I could come off glycoside, because, you know, the measurements on that particular aspect were stable. So she felt, well, the doctor felt, well, sure, that won't cause any problems. Yeah. So the blood testing here is into many, many factors, and they're checking out kidneys, they're checking out all the eyes, not the eye stuff with bloods,
liver,
that's it, yeah. And it's really, you know, very interesting what they can measure, and you can get that on a very regular basis. So we're protected against those extra hidden effects in that way.
Yeah, that's the benefit of living in a developed country such as that.
Yes, it is.
The standards of healthcare is very good.
Yeah.
But that goes against the benefit of the diet there. So they need to have the healthcare there.
Well, you can find the right food around here. I mean, tomorrow we go to a market. It's a farmer's market, and it's got all the real good stuff there. And, you know, we lap it up. It's you know, run home with it, and we're good for another couple of weeks, you know. So you can find the right food, you know. It's just having the will to do that.
Yeah, the lovely green smoothies that are full of things like kale and spinach and yogurt. It's good.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so what's ahead for you then? What's going to be happening?
More weight loss. We're gonna make sure that we nail that one.
So that it's steady and maintained.
Right now the band is 180 to 184, and I'm getting within that pretty easily. But I'd like to make the band around 178 to 182, so that I could have a medium of 180. That's the deal. You know that famous score in darts.
180.
Trying for that.
Okay, right. Well, I know that you're going to achieve it, because I know how diligent you are at this.
I think that can be achieved, and then just see if in the fullness of time we can bring the drug regime down a bit.
Brilliant. And your advice to someone living with diabetes who's listening today, who wants to get into the sweet spot, what would your advice be to them?
Okay, very short reply, because, you know, that way we'll perhaps remember it. Mm-hmm. Advice would be try it, take it seriously, and feel the difference.
Brilliant. Yeah. Try it, take it seriously, and feel the difference. Excellent.
Yeah.
Be diligent. Yeah.
Well, diligent's a big word, but I think I've tried to say, you know, it really should be tried, yeah. But take it seriously and you'll feel the difference, you know. Mm. But as a slogan, it would be try it, take it seriously, and feel the difference.
Good. Yeah, and you do feel the difference very early on, actually, when you are.
You do. You really do. Yeah. I remember saying to you, hey, it's a different day down here.
Yeah. And Jane, many of the listeners here will not be people with diabetes. They might be people that love their loved one who has diabetes, and they're the ones that are more concerned about their loved one than the person with diabetes is. Someone's listening and they want to try and help their partner to address their lifestyle, or for that matter, the partner is already thinking of addressing their lifestyle, what top tip would you give them?
Top tip?
Yeah.
Top tip.
Top tip.
And top tip, and I think to be inventive, to find different routes of, you know, with diet and exercise, you have to find some, you know, otherwise it's just, oh, I don't fancy doing that. Yeah.
Okay. So as the partner, you'd be being proactive and getting in there with them, inventing new methods to improve their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, cool. How about 25 miles before breakfast?
I think our audience has just dropped massively at the thought of doing that. Oh dear. Mind you, I did that. I suppose I can pat myself on the back when I did my marathon the other week. That was before breakfast.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic. You know, that we've managed, Peter, you'll be interested to know, and I think we mentioned earlier, was that there's a huge mass run here on Hawaii.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful event. It's the largest in the world, where 25,000 runners show up for the year.
They're not all running away from a volcano, are they?
Yeah. It's called the Fun Run.
Okay.
The Aloha Fun Run.
So you turn up in the dark, the center of town, and you're milling around with 25,000 others, and then the bang goes off, and you're suddenly doing it. So it's 8.7 miles, and you get a T-shirt and everything. So we did that, and that little sort of spice on the exercise made quite a difference, because it creates a goal. And therefore,
we have to train for that.
Might be something as a tip, that if you're putting together an exercise regime, have something that stands out as an achievement,
And it's really good fun as well.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
They have bands along the route. There's some lady of 99 was doing it.
Being pushed along. And there was kids in trolleys,
Lots of fun.
And camaraderie, of course. So, and when you arrive, you feel great and you get the T-shirt and everyone else has got a T-shirt and it's a happy event. So, and they time you, and it turns out that people around the world can check out your timing,
we have people challenging what we've said.
So you can actually, they do electronic record that is available on a website, and one of our friends did report that what we said to them was true. Yeah, you did it. And to which we said, we'll improve the time next year.
Good. Okay, so you're still in training for that then, yeah?
Yes.
For next year.
I would love to do a marathon, but the 8.7 miles, that's good too,
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, definitely. Okay. Andrew, I think... I'd like to just really sum up, or for you to sum up, really, just in one sentence, summing up what getting into the diabetic sweet spot has meant to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll have a go. Okay. I mean, I think that
I'm putting you on the spot. I know, but
I know. Yeah. That's nothing. Nothing new, is it? Well, anyway, how about something like this? Okay. Since being in the diabetic sweet spot, I am back to a normal life, and it shows in every aspect of my living. A different outcome, rather than waiting, is doing, acting, and achieving a significant change.
Very good. Some good use of commas there, so you could elongate the sentence. Well done. Okay. That's
good. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's in a nutshell, I think, what I would like to say to people who are contemplating a change of lifestyle. You know, it really is worth doing.
Brilliant. And Jane, when you see Andrew's progress, how does that make you feel?
No, I'd say never a dull moment.
Okay, thanks. Okay, well, thank you both.
By the way, Peter, I don't know what she means by that.
I was wondering, it's debating if I should ask or not. What do you mean, Jane? Come on, as Andrew's broached that subject.
Yeah, tell us what you mean.
Let's put you on the spot, Jane.
Yeah, don't regard any of it as a chore. Because it's not. There's an upside to all of it.
Okay.
That's so good. Yeah.
Your journey with the diabetic sweet spot has not been an ordeal. It's been on the whole a joy and lots of fun, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I hope people can see that in it, because obviously that makes all the difference in it. Underlines the value of having a mentor who's willing to sort of share all of it. There's nothing like, you know, doing it with a friend and a partner. It really is a great boon to have a mentor. And you've known that, Peter, for a long time, and we can witness, yes, that is true.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is important, I think, having a mentor, or some people might call it a coach, almost, a sort of a trainer, a coach to coach people, but it takes humility, and I appreciate that in you guys, because you're humble enough to take on board the advice and take on board the correction, and many people would actually just
it's easy to ignore, isn't it?
It is.
Anything wrong, be in denial, really.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I know it must be getting pretty late over there.
No problem. No problem. We're fine.
It's paradise. We don't have to think about the time.
Okay. I was trying to avoid talking too much about how wonderfully lovely it is over there. And I thought you might come on with the sound of the waves crashing in the background or something, and just to really rub it in. But
well, we'll send you a wave sound. You can superimpose it in.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to coming over one day and visiting you guys over there.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for all you do for Undefeated as well. Thank you so much for being such a great example. And I really hope the listeners will have learned a lot from you, and hopefully will have not only learned, but also will have been motivated to act, to do something about it.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be on the show, and we hope that your listeners can, you know, appreciate the sort of messages that you're putting out and value them for their own lives. I'm sure they can, because it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does. Wonderful. Thanking you. I'll let you get back to your beach and blue skies and sunshine.
All right. Okay.
For those of you that joined us during that interview, this is Peter Alton on The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and I have just been interviewing Dr. Andrew Crilly and Jane Johnson. Some of you are probably familiar with the terms that we were using there. We talk about getting into the diabetic sweet spot, which is the safest possible place that anyone living with diabetes can live in, and it usually involves changes in your lifestyle to actually make sure, to ensure that you are so safe that there shouldn't be complications occurring. And the key factor in that, of course, is maintaining good blood sugars. So Andrew has, as you heard in the interview, shared a little bit about what his journey into the sweet spot entailed. And he summarized it very nicely, actually, on the things that he sees, the foundations that he sees that need to happen in order to get into that sweet spot. And he named three core foundations that need to take place. The second one is reducing the number of carbohydrates you eat dramatically. Ideally, cutting them out, at least until you have reversed your diabetes, whereupon you may be able to introduce some in moderation, as we should all be living anyway, and get away with it. And then the final foundation is reducing the amount of food that you eat. So it's not just about the carbohydrates, it's all about having too many calories going in and therefore the body having to store some of those as fat, which builds up on the internal organs, which then makes you insulin resistant, etc. So these are the three core foundations that Andrew has identified and that we promote here at Undefeated with our ideal diabetic lifestyle. And early in the show, I think we referred to it as being the ideal diabetic lifestyle diet. It's not really the ideal diabetic lifestyle diet. It is the ideal diabetic lifestyle, which has some angles to do with diet, with exercise, with the way you live, sleep patterns, stress. We want you to be able to get into that diabetic sweet spot by living that ideal lifestyle. So don't get confused. It's not just another diet fad. We pick from various diets that are out there, various ways of reducing our HbA1cs, which for one person will work and another person it may not. So we have some others that we can dip into. It's not one thing fixes all. So I hope that today has been useful. I hope that you have found that there are some things that you can really get your head around, you can really start to make some leeway with. Please set some goals. Please test and measure what you're setting. If you're on medication already, then please do check with your GP before you take on any of the advice that we're giving you. And ideally, find somebody who can mentor you and somebody who can be a peer sweet spot buddy for you as well. By all means, do get in touch with us if you want some help with that. Here on the Diabetes Show and at Undefeated, we are all about trying to help you as an individual and you collectively as an audience to live healthier, safer lives in the diabetic sweet spot. So get in touch, let us know your thoughts, let us know if you'd like to get involved, let us know if you want to be the next person who reverses their diabetes and who maybe will be on the show one day sharing the pre-you and the post-you and how you've managed to change things. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to hearing from you and having some interaction with as many of you as possible. Oh, and don't forget, if you have a favourite song that you would like played on the show, send that in on email as well, and we'll do our best to be able to accommodate that, provided it is appropriate and suitable, of course, and passes my vetting. Otherwise, if we don't get these requests, I'm afraid you're stuck with my choices. Anyway, have a great week and look forward to sharing some more tips with you next week with another wonderful guest. Many thanks. Have a great week. And that's it for this week, folks. You have been listening to Peter Oltham with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. All that remains is for me to be able to say to you, have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetic sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.